This is Twit.
I use Thunderbird, so my mail spools are all like in the hundreds of megabytes
range.
So you add one email to your inbox, and now you have to resync 300 gigabytes of
You have an IMAP server, so you're fine that way, right?
I mean, I don't use IMAP.
Why not? Oh, now I'm going to find out why IMAP's bad. What do you use?
I still use POP. So I use POP for a lot of reasons.
Oh, you don't want to leave your mail on the server.
That's it, right? Yeah. So, like, first of all, Electronic Privacy Act says that any file on a server for more than 90 or 180 days
they
is considered
that.
Abandoned.
They changed that.
In California, not federally.
Yeah, federally. Well, maybe it was only California.
Yeah, it was just California. All the attempts to modernize that have failed. That and also whenever you hear stories about people being breached, it's all like we then breached them and we had access to 10 years worth of their email. And that's how we were able to so comprehensively screw them over.
Right.
If you crack my email, you get everything I've got since the last time my computer was connected to the internet.
Right. That's
and then
all.
Finally, it lets me do things like carry a limited version of my email across borders and then cheerfully border guards to get that data.
Have my account. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I might have to rethink this whole thing.
It's tough. It's a tough workflow, you know, and like my wife is always like, so do you remember the details of that party we're invited to next week? And I'm like, yeah, when I get home, I'll look at my laptop and find out what those details are. Because she's used to searching Gmail on her phone, right?
That is a convenience, I must admit.
Yeah.
But now that we're finding out what Unroll.me was doing, your point is really well taken, right?
Yeah.
Because as soon as you sign up for Unroll.me, they have everything going, you know, back to when you started using Gmail.
I have a colleague at the Media Lab who works for the Einstein Institute, which is this nonviolent political protest research institute. And she says that her philosophy is that you should assume that if your adversary has a capability that they'll use it.
Right. That's fair.
And so, you know, when you look at kind of what the surveillance and control opportunities are with technology, a lot of our fallback is assuming that the law will be obeyed or that the law will be sensible or, you know, that if the law is broken, we'll catch the lawbreakers before they can make mischief. And if you take away those assumptions and assume the law will be routinely broken and that there'll be no consequences for the people who do it and that after it's broken, whatever they accomplish through breaking it will go on, then you really quickly get to a point where you're like, no, I should just not leave this file on a server. I should not have my, you know, I'm just about to go and purge all my Twitter DM history before I start traveling across borders on this tour. So I can log people into my Twitter if they say you can't come into my country unless you show me what's in your Twitter account.
You don't have dual citizenship. You're still Canadian?
I do.
Oh, you do?
I'm Canadian and British, not Canadian and American.
Canadian and British. Oh, so you're screwed.
Yeah, but I have a green card.
No, that doesn't help.
Yeah, no, it doesn't help. Well, it helps a little, right? I have more.
It's better than not.
They can't just refuse me entry. What they did to green card holders during the Muslim ban chaos was they said, we demand that you surrender your green card voluntarily, which, you know, is a highly specialized definition
demand.
Of voluntary, right? But when you voluntarily surrender your green card, then all bets are off. There's also a thing that when you're crossing, if you are in border detention, whether or not you're an American, and you want your legal representative to visit you, it is at the Border Patrol's, at the Border Protection Agency's discretion, unless there's this form called something like a G25. And it has to be, again, if they're not going to have any discretion, but it has to be on green paper. And you have to sign it and give it to your lawyer before you cross the border because the lawyer has to present it at the border to gain access to you. And so, you know, there's a lot of this stuff that's just silly and kind of
Form 738
predicated on the idea that people. But it's predicated on the idea that the border guards won't be unreasonable, right? Because this is all stuff that just like having the magic incantation of the green paper in the right form and in advance is only in the like heretofore extremely unlikely event that someone from the Border Patrol denies someone in detention access to their legal representative.
Right.
And now we're like, well, what do we do if the discretion is exercised by people whose discretion we don't trust? This is one of the reasons that I found myself very frustrated with British politics is a lot of British politics is predicated on the idea of providing discretion to the political class and to administrators, right, and then assume that they will exercise that discretion wisely. Right. And it's so wrong, you know, like in a world where GCHQ like kidnaps Libyan dissidents and sends them to Gaddafi to be tortured, like we shouldn't be leaving governments at their discretion.